Hi, I'm Chris Peppel, and you're listening to my Look to See Me podcast. I hope everyone has had a wonderful day today. I am recording this on July 1st, which means that Pride Month is officially over. And it has been a wonderful month for me. I hope it's been a wonderful month for all of you who celebrate Pride. And I had the opportunity to do exactly what I talk about in my podcast, Look to See Me. Just the chance to look and really see who was at Pride and to see the expressions on their face and the joy as they walked. And for some people, it was some concern. I always try to look for the people that, especially young people, who you can read it on their face that it's their first Pride and they're not really sure what to do. And usually if you go introduce yourself, and they will eventually tell you, this is our first Pride. And so just you have a chance to get to know them and ask them questions, steer them in the direction of some booths, tell them what time the parade is going to be if your area has a parade, talk to them about some food that's good in the area, just kind of put them at ease when it's there. Because a lot of times when we're at any type of event and it's new to us, we have no idea so what to expect. So I do like to just stop and step back and just look across the crowd. The generations that are there, the young children who are hopefully going to grow up in a world where discrimination ends, where inequality ends, where injustices end, and they are going to be the ones that carry forth this idea that love wins and that people can live at peace with each other. And we don't have to totally, there's never going to be a world where everybody totally agrees on every single thing. But we can agree on the worth and value of all people. And that all people deserve equality. You know, in the political realm, in the spiritual realm, the religious realm, financial world, business world, schools, education. No one should be discriminated against for any reason whatsoever. And we're still having some really tough legal cases going through our court systems and some really tough judgments coming down that are ending the equality for some people. And in many states, it's still in a battle as to whether transgender children are going to get the care that they need and deserve. So many issues going on. You know, can businesses discriminate? It looks like, based on what the Supreme Court just handed down, the ruling that they just handed down, that certain types of businesses will be allowed to discriminate based on what they are calling their religious right to not serve some people. And so we have to wait and see how this is going to play out and what the world's going to look like. But when I see those young people at Pride, it just brings me hope. Because I thought, they just see people. They're looking to see the people around them, and they see the goodness in the people that are around them. So there's a lot of good to look forward to. We're going to hang on to the good. We're going to hang on to the hope. In the middle of these challenges and these questionable times where we can't predict what's going to happen next, and there's just general craziness going on at times, when I get to go to the Pride events, it's there that I see love in action. Besides the young people there, I see the people that are older, the 60 and up crowd, still young at heart, young at life overall, but older and wiser and have seen so many changes in the world. And to see them living their lives openly and authentically, and to see the relief on their face that they have places. I got to talk to some of the people that said, you know, when I was a kid, this didn't exist. There wasn't a single place that I could go and be honest about who I was. And what a beautiful moment to see that person be able to fully express who they are and stand and hold hands with the person that they're in love with and just see the joy on their faces. And the people that are being able to be out and have their business represented there and march in the parade with their coworkers. There's just some beautiful, beautiful things going on. So that's the great part about Pride. But now that it's July 1st, and Pride is every day. Pride should be every day. I just think we should always look for ways to celebrate people and the diversity in this world and to see the beauty in that diversity. But as we come into July 1st, I have been talking the last few podcasts about writing your story. Here's what I want to leave us with today. Listening to the story of others. How do we listen? What preconceived ideas do we come with? What reactions are automatic for us that maybe we need to work through a little bit? When my kids got older and were becoming young adults, turning 18, making decisions, and then turning 21, but especially when they, 16 and older, really, and I wanted to keep the lines of communication open, but there were times when they were telling me something, and I wasn't sure what I was supposed to do with the information, and when they're growing up and they come to tell you something, they want you to fix it. You know, hey, Mom, I got a cut on my finger. Mom, I fell off my bike. And they're coming to you for comfort and to fix it. Yeah, get a Band-Aid, clean the cut. You know, Mom, I think I'm going to fail my history test tomorrow. Okay, what do you need from me? Okay, study. Help me. Help me read through all of this. Help me figure it out. Yeah, Mom, I'm having trouble getting my paper typed. I'm not doing a good job on this. Okay, talk them through, give them little typing lessons, make them do the work. I was a firm believer in making my kids do the work themselves, but there was ways that I could help, and I had the answers as a mom. I knew what to do. But as my kids got older, sometimes they needed to tell me something. And at first, I was still in that, okay, I'm the mom, I guess I'm supposed to fix it. And then I realized I can't fix these. They're telling me relationship things or problems with teachers or understanding something at work or facing challenges. And those aren't things that I could get involved in. They're private issues with them and the people they were dealing with, but they were struggling. And I was still their mom. And so somebody gave me some great advice to say the words, I hear you. And I need to ask you a question. Are you telling me this so that I can hear and understand and be a listening ear? Or are you asking for my advice or asking for help in some way? And if so, let me know. How can I help? And if all you need is a listening ear, I'm here. If it's winter, especially with my daughter, hot cocoa. That was it. My son likes to get some coffee. I'm not a big coffee drinker, so I usually get some kind of tea. But I learned to ask that question back again when somebody's telling your story. Oh, I'd love to listen. And then if they get to a challenging part, say, what would you like for me to do with that information? Are you asking for advice or just a listening ear? And accept whatever their answer is. No, I just needed to tell somebody. Haven't you ever had that moment where you just need to tell somebody something? And you don't need them to fix it. And you're not trying to cause them anxiety. But you need to hear. And then, we should respectfully then also ask back, how can I help? Because our stories are all intertwined with each other. If somebody is hurting, we're hurting also in ways, because that means there's brokenness in our world and we're part of this world. So if we just write somebody off who's telling us something and we don't ask the question, how can I help? Now, that's not to say that we're obligated to do whatever they answer, of course. It may be something that you're not able to do right then. You know, if you have a huge work presentation that your job hinges on and they say, I really need somebody to drive me to the doctor today. Well, that may not be able to be you. But maybe you can provide some information. Maybe you can look up the bus route. Maybe you know that your friends or an organization that you're part of has some people who are retired and sometimes can assist somebody in getting to a doctor. You know, maybe you need to just find some online resources. Get Uber, whatever. Teach them. Put Uber, you know, put the app on their phone and, you know, help them learn how to get the ride themselves. So it's not that we're obligated. Sometimes people need funds. They need money. You know, for me, that's not ever going to be something I can help with at this point in my life. You know, I don't have the financial resources to assist anybody. I mean, I do donate to things. It's not that I keep everything that I make. I do donate. I have several causes that are very important to my heart, and I donate to those causes and organizations. And there's times where I've seen someone on the street and I've had $5 in my pocket, and I give that person that $5. We're in the moment in that, but there's times where somebody may need more funds. That's not to say we're obligated to help that person, but maybe we can be a resource for them. You know, what are your community resources? Are there organizations in your city, in your state, that provide rent assistance for someone in a case of emergency, medical assistance? You know, there are wonderful people who are financial mentors that have been trained to do that. Maybe you can connect them to someone who's a financial mentor. I can't even tell you how thankful I am for the financial mentor in my life who taught me things that nobody ever taught me before. And, you know, helped me organize and think through and helped me talk to my creditors and taught me to be an advocate for myself and pointed me to resources that I would not have known about without that person's advice. So sometimes we can point somebody in the right direction. We don't have to become the resource. We can point people to resources that already exist. So outside of hearing their story when they're in the time of need, what about just becoming a hearer of their joy, a hearer of their life's journey, and embracing all aspects of it? You know, all of our lives are full of the joys and the sorrows. But when we see the life as a whole, usually we can find just such deep beauty and the existence of that person that's before us. We start to see their gifts and their talents, their contributions to the world, how they overcame struggles, how they overcame sorrows. We can learn something from everybody that we sit down and talk to. So we've got to remember that sometimes we're just meant to be the listener of the story. We don't have to have a reaction. We can just say, oh, thank you for sharing. I loved hearing your story. Read the stories of other people who have put it down. You know, don't only look for the stories of people that share similar experiences. Yes, for example, I love to hike, love to camp. We have rescue dogs, like to read about rescue dogs. So there are times where I pick up a blog about great places to camp, state parks in my state, hiking trails. But there are times where I look for somebody whose life story is 100% different from mine, going in the opposite direction of mine. And I look for the beauty in that story. It still baffles me. I cannot understand the mindset of hearing somebody's story and because they're different from you, you know, judging that person and declaring that person unworthy because they're different from you. That is the root of the problem in our society right now, is, you know, I still can't even imagine owning a business and somebody coming in that's a different religion or a different sexual orientation or different gender than me, and me saying, I'm sorry, I only serve people who are like me. I don't want to serve you in my business. You know, during Pride Month, I run across so many amazing people. And it's not just at the Pride events. It's not just somebody who's gay or somebody who's transgender. It's the allies that you run into, the business owners who make a decision to embrace the diversity and to come to Pride. There's doctors who are willing to step up and serve the transgender community in a time where the legislatures in different states are threatening them, basically, and saying, you can't do this. So there's beauty in the stories of people who are stepping forward in these challenging times. So when you listen, try to let go of the need to control the conversation. Check yourself every so often and see if unexpected judgments are popping up. Because sometimes we are slightly biased and we don't even realize it. There are times where we let preconceived ideas step up and interfere with our ability to truly hear somebody's story. And there are times where those stories and those listening moments can become a conversation. There's times where we have a chance to share back, where we have a chance to write in that moment, you know, weave our stories together, talk about shared experiences, talk about people that we know or experiences that we have in common. But there's other times where we just need to be the listener. We need to be the person who says, what can I learn from this person? What beauty and joy can I hear in this conversation? What can touch my life? What words can I carry forth with me from this conversation? And a lot of people are afraid that listening to somebody else's story is going to fundamentally change who you are. And in some sense, that just isn't true. I hear so many different stories, and I see the beauty, and I find the joy, and I'm touched by the conversations. And I hear how different their beliefs are than mine beliefs. But it doesn't change me. It doesn't change who I am, what I believe deep down about the world. It doesn't change what I'm going to do for the rest of that day. It doesn't change what I'm going to do for the rest of that year or even probably the rest of my life. I'm going to take the joy of meeting that person, and then I'm going to move forward with the other things I have to do in life. But on another level, it does change us, doesn't it? And it's not in a way that we have to fear. It changes us because every time we're touched by love, we become that much more of a loving person. And we find healing in these conversations, maybe even healing wounds that we didn't even realize that we were carrying with us. And we find little bits of wisdom that we may not even realize we're carrying with us, but at some point in life, we're going to find ourselves in a situation and those words from that person are going to come back. We're going to know how to help somebody else. We're going to know how to help ourselves. We're going to know how to touch a life. We're going to know how to allow ourselves to heal because of something that somebody else told us. And it may not come for years later. You know, there's times where I just think about somebody years ago, and sometimes I don't even remember their name. But sometimes I'm stuck in a situation and somebody's words come back to me. And I'm thinking, oh yeah, they taught me this. Just like the person who taught me to learn how to respond to my young adult children. Because when they, you know, they're taking a college class and they're all in a panic and they're all upset and it feels like their world is falling apart, I need to know what they're asking me to do as a listener. And that frees me from having to all of a sudden go back to the ways that I did when they were little and try to fix things, because they don't need me to fix it. They're strong enough. I raised them to be strong enough and capable enough to handle their situations. Sometimes they need my advice. Sometimes they know what they're coming to ask me for. Here's how it would help me. Do you think you could do this for me? And if the answer is yes, and then I figure out how we do that together. And if the answer is that's not something I'm comfortable doing, we talk about, is there another solution that works for both of us? But I got all stressed at first, you know, when they were growing up, because they were telling me such personal things and I didn't have any clue what I was supposed to do with the information. I knew not to interfere in their relationships. I knew I didn't need to micromanage. That's not my style of parenting. So I was not tempted to super control their lives. But I also didn't want them to think that I didn't care when they told me something. So I learned from the person how to respond when I was listening. From the people at Pride, you know, I learned how to be patient. I learned how to see hope in places where I didn't know hope was even there. I learned how to be a good listener. I learned how to hug and be hugged. I learned how to explore new resources that I didn't know about. I learned how to funnel those resources to people who needed them. I learned how to dance in the moment, in the year where it seemed like everything is falling apart, where the legislatures are just being cruel, where people are judging so harshly, where it feels like hate is just rising and rising. I danced at Pride in the middle of all of that, and I laughed with people. And I heard their stories and they heard mine. And we reconnected with hope and joy and laughter and love. And we told ourselves, we can do this. We got this. We can do this. We can move through this next round of court cases that are going to come up in this country. And politicians who we have to continue to write letters for, and churches who want to keep discriminating against people, and businesses who don't want to serve people because of who they are, and justice systems that are still, you know, full of judgment of people of different races and people of different genders and anybody who they deem as different. They don't want to offer justice and love and hope to. So let's listen to each other's stories. Read each other's stories. Really hear each other. See the beauty in the story. Don't try to control the story. Don't try to retell somebody's story and change their own words and, you know, put your own spin and interpretation on it. Honor their words. Let them tell their stories. We can lift up their stories. We can point people to those stories. We can point people to their recordings. But let's really hear them ourselves also. Take those stories with us. And don't judge and ask somebody. When you hear something, you know, ask them, is there something I can do with you, for you? Thank them for sharing their stories. Thank them. That is a gift that somebody trusts you enough to tell their story. It's a treasure. Let's give each other that treasure of telling our stories, of writing our stories, and also learning how to be the listeners of the stories. Thank you for listening to my Look to See Me podcast, and I hope you return for the next episode.